Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Right off the bat, I am way over prepared for what I'm going to minister tonight. So having said that, I'm going to be purposeful about stopping when we need to stop. But when I was praying about this, the message, the delivery of it, the reception of it, the Lord revealed to me that there was going to be manifestations of His healing power during the ministry, during the ministering of the Word, that were going to be more opportunistic for you than having, at the end, a healing line or an altar time because of the nature of what I'm going to be ministering. So here's the reason I'm telling you that. I want you to expect that during the course of the message that I give you, that you will experience the healing power of God. Now, there's not a single person in this room that could not experience the healing power of God somewhere in something in their life. And I'm not just talking about physical. Now, if you are a perfect specimen of physical health, there is absolutely nothing whatsoever at all in your body that is wrong. You probably have relationships that are wrong. You probably have mindsets that are sickly. You might have some disease in your thoughts, in your belief systems. You might have some sickness in your finances, and maybe the sickness of poverty might be affecting you in some area of your life. So if you are in perfect, absolute, pristine, in every way health, then believe God in other areas. And I'm talking about manifestations that even if you're believing God for like things financially, that you could literally have a text message or a phone call come in and a voicemail where somebody says, you know, this financial miracle just took place in your life. So the reason I'm saying this is because I want you to draw on. I want you to pull from. In the same way when you eat, your body immediately starts to draw from that food vitamins, nutrients, minerals, calories, and it starts to immediately process that. Jesus said, Mark chapter 4, that His word is like a seed, which, you know, seeds can turn into flour, which can turn into bread, which we can eat that. Or even a seed, you know, we eat sunflower seeds. So you can immediately take this seed, put it in you, and put it to work in your lives. Psalms chapter 138 is where I want to start. Psalms 138. I like ministering with these small Bibles, so when you get these small chapters in Psalms, you can flip three pages and go past 20 Psalms. Psalms 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word even above thy name. What's really interesting about this verse is that he starts off praising God for His name. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name because of thy loving kindness. The word loving kindness in the Hebrew is hasid or kasid. And it's talking about, it's the closest thing we have in the Hebrew to an understanding of the New Testament grace of God. It's talking about God's unmerited favor, God's unearned love, God's kindness and goodness towards us, not because we've earned it, not because there's anything that we've done that has brought it into our lives. And so he was saying that I am praising you for this unearned, unmerited, undeserved love and goodness that you are giving me. And it is seated in the name of who you are. Remember, a name is not name like Bob, so that you look when somebody says it. In the Hebrew, in the Greek, name meant character. It meant nature. It meant the embodiment of who you are. Jesus Christ. Jesus, Yeshua, which meant Savior, Deliverer, the Christ, which is talking about the chosen one, the anointed one of God. So it wasn't Jesus Christ as in a name. It was Jesus, who he was, the Deliverer, Christos, which was the anointed one of God. So he was the anointed one of God to bring deliverance to people. When you say Jesus Christ, what you're saying is the anointed one by God's own hand is bringing deliverance to his people. And this is the man that it came through. And so when the psalmist here is saying, I'm praising you for your name, for the hasid, for the grace, the power, the extravagant love, the unearned favor, the unmerited goodness that you have shown me, I want you to know that this is why I'm praising you. And then he goes into this really phenomenal, powerful, and almost too good to be true statement where he says, you have even magnified your word above that. Above all of that, your word is magnified. Now, magnified, we know magnified means that you look at something and it becomes even larger than it originally was. Specifically, magnified in here means increased or promoted, if you look it up in the Hebrew. Increased or promoted. You have promoted your word above your name. You have increased your word above your name. A short definition of it in the Hebrew is grew. You have grew your word, grown, grew. You have grown your word above your name. Now, I don't know if you get how radical this is. Let me say it this way. In Philippians chapter 3, it says that let this mind, talking about the mind of Jesus Christ, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be called equal with God, but humbled himself and made himself obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, that at that name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess to the glory of God the Father about the character and the nature of Jesus Christ. And this verse is saying that God has magnified His Word even above the name. And it collects dust on our bookshelf. He has magnified His Word even above the name of Jesus Christ. Now, to be fair, Jesus is the Word. When you say Jesus, you're actually saying the Word. John chapter 1, verse 1 and John chapter 1, verse 14 says that the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when you're saying Jesus, you're actually saying the Word of God. And in John chapter 14, it said that Word took on flesh and walked and lived and moved among us. This Word is living and moving in our hearts. That's why there's two different words in the Greek for the Word of God. There's rhema and there's logos. Logos is the written. You can reference it anytime, day or night. It is true. It is immutable. It is unchangeable. It is infallible. It is eternally secure. It will not return to God void. Every jot, every tittle will be accomplished. And then there's the rhema of God, which is when the Word gets into your life and springs to life. It gets from the pages to your heart. That's the rhema of God. So in context, what this is saying, what the psalmist is saying here, is that you have magnified the Word of God even above the name of God, even above the character of God. This is God that did this. This wasn't man that did this. This is God that did this. Praise God. Jesus Christ, the stripes of Jesus Christ, purchased your healing. The reason you know about that is because of the Word of God. You believe the Word, you get what the stripes paid for. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Just a few pages over if you got a little Bible. Proverbs chapter 3, starting at the top. My son, this proverb is written to sons and daughters. If you're a son or a daughter, say amen. Amen. My son, forget not my law. Forget not my law. Why would he say that? Because you can't. You can forget the things of God that are immutable and unchangeable. You can forget God loves you. Do you know it? You can forget that God has forgiven you, and you can feel condemned. The only way for you to feel condemned is if you forget God's forgiven you. You can feel guilty. The only way for you to feel guilty is if you think that you have guilt instead of innocence. You know what righteousness means? If you look up righteousness in the New Testament, righteousness, the definition of righteousness is that you have been thoroughly examined and found perfectly innocent. And if you have the righteousness of God, that means you have been thoroughly examined by God and found thoroughly innocent by God. The only way for you to feel guilty is because you forgot that you're righteous. Well, let me take this a step farther. The only way for you to feel sick is because you forgot that the law of God says that by His stripes you are healed.
Amen. Praise God.
Not were, are. Are now. Are now. Forget not my law. The word for law, Vine says, the word for law is direction or education. Do not forget the direction and the education that God has had on your life. Now here, beloved, we're building the house of grace. We are adamant about getting folks to understand and be discipled in the finished work of the cross, the power of the grace of God, the uncreated, deifying power of God is one of my favorite definitions of the grace of God. The uncreated, deifying power of God that comes into your life. We're building that house of grace, that people understand the finished work of the cross, not some futuristic gospel that says one day, way down the road, when I get all pure and holy and sanctified and everything gets figured out, then I'll have all these benefits. No, the benefits are yours right now because Jesus Christ is no longer on the cross and the grave is empty. That the grace of God comes to you not because you deserve it, but because He gives it. And that the application of that in your life is faith in that grace that comes to you, not because of you, but because of Him. This is what we're building in the house of grace here at Beloved Church. We're building it on the finished work of the cross that has come to us because of the great love and the goodness of God that has given us an encounter with the uncreated, deifying power of God found in the grace of God. And we're going to apply that through faith in believing these truths. You do not need to forget ever the direction and the education that comes from what this truth that God has sent us this message here in Pearl City, in Lena, in Northern Illinois, where God has sent us this message to carry this mantle, to take this torch and to run into dark places and shed the light in people's lives. You do not have to be sick anymore. You do not have to be poor anymore. You do not have to be oppressed and depressed anymore. You do not have to be under circumstances. You can rule and reign. You do not have to be the tail. You can be the head. You don't have to be underneath. You can be above. You do not have to be the end. You can be the beginning. You do not have to be the object of people's scorn, but you can be the object of people's love. You can have favor with God and man. This is the message that Jesus Christ has sent us here to proclaim. And part of that message is, it's going to take your health to get it there. It's going to be hard to get it there if you're sickly and dying. God wants you to be healthy. It is God's will for every man, woman, and child on this earth to be completely healthy. The stripes of Jesus Christ were enough. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. It doesn't say let your actions keep my commandments. This is part, you know, the grace of God was revealed in the Old Testament. It was just revealed in a concealed way. That sounds contradictory, but Jesus Christ was in the Old Testament. Types and shadows, an unrevealed Jesus Christ was in the Old Testament. Melchizedek was Jesus Christ. Joshua was a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. Jonathan was a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ concealed. But the grace of God was able to be found in the Old Testament. You just had to look harder. When Jesus Christ was born, you didn't have to look too hard. Here he was. Eyeball to eyeball, flesh on flesh. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart. Only through the grace of God does your heart have the empowerment that it needs for you to keep the word of God. What is the word of God? Isaiah 53:4. By his stripes ye are healed. Matthew 8:17, guaranteeing that that statement specifically meant physical healing. Matthew 8:17 says that he himself bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases on the tree, and by his stripes we are healed. And then in 1 Peter 2:24, Peter refers to the same exact reference that the other two people referred to, and he says, by his stripes ye were healed. So ye will be healed. In Isaiah, in Matthew, you are healed, and in Peter, you were healed. Everything points to the cross. This is the commandment that your heart needs to keep. You get this in your head, God bless you. You can quote some scriptures. You get this in your heart, the devil is going to scream bloody murder as the healing power of God filters its way from your head down to your feet. And the anointing of God chases away every symptom that has tried to own you. But you cannot be owned except by your Father. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. I want to show you that, you know, some people like to over-spiritualize the Bible, and they say, well, that doesn't mean physical health, or that doesn't mean, you know, length of days. That doesn't really mean that you get to have long life. Okay, so here, the Holy Spirit says, length of days and long life. For all of those skeptics out there that like to take the word and twist it into something that costs us the promises of God, here the Holy Spirit says, length of days and long life. Let me say this. In Psalms chapter 90, Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said that if man's days on earth shall be 70 years, and if by strength, 80. So let me say this. According to the Word of God, if you're just taking that at face value, if a person dies under 70 years old, they were killed before their time. Now, I know I'm stirring it up right now. I got it. Because you got friends and families and, you know, mom was a wonderful lady and she died when she was 69. You tell me she died. No, just stop it. I'm telling you the Word of God. You can write God a letter and tell him you don't like it anytime you want. He's not going to take your mail, so You might as well just keep it. Moses said that man's days, mankind, raise your hand if you're human. Okay, for those of you, that was a great opportunity for some of you. You just missed an opportunity of a lifetime to declare your humanity right there. But you are human. So Moses said, man's days, mankind's days shall be 70 years, if by strength, 80 years. Now, does anybody remember what Moses did? Did that whole little Exodus thing? You can read about it. It's a whole book in the Bible called Exodus. He led a bunch of people who were in slavery, in physical slavery. He led them into more slavery. It wasn't God's intention. It wasn't Moses' intention. Because the people could not believe the good news. That's what it says in Hebrews. Because they couldn't really believe in the good news, they died. They didn't believe that God really wanted to take them from slavery and take them into the promised land and give them a land flowing with milk and honey and see all these grapes, this one vine of grapes that was larger than man, which is larger than a man. I mean, think about that. You're walking past a vineyard. You see a flock of grapes? I don't know. A cluster. You'd see a cluster of grapes that's bigger than a human being. I don't know, flock? Sounds good to me. Fly into your mouth. And they couldn't believe that God's good news was that good, and so it cost them their lives. Moses wrote about it in Psalms chapter 90. He's saying, look, these folks that perished under the law, in the curse, they died at 70 years, and if they were strong, they died at 80 years. Does anybody know how long Moses lived? 120 years. So the guy that said mankind's day shall be 70 years, if by strength 80, lived to be 120. Now hold on. Something's not right here. So what is he saying, that the only life that you can live is 70 years? And if you live to be 70, woo-woo, the guy that wrote it lived to be 120. Not only did he live to be 120, but the Bible says that he lived to be 120 and his natural forces were not abated. I'm not going to get into that tonight. And his eyesight was not dim. He was strong, vibrant. He could see. He didn't have bifocals. Amen. This was under the old covenant. There was no stripes of Jesus Christ. There was no new covenant. There was no blood that was shed for us. There wasn't even the verse that said, by his stripes you are healed yet. And Moses was 120 and in perfect health. And he said that man's days. So let me say this. If a person dies under 70 years old, and I'm going to put in a stipulation for martyrdom, I believe that God allows for certain circumstances martyrdom to be a part of a person's life, because there is a power and a grace that's released to a person that's martyred. Like, for example, Stephen, when he was martyred, he wasn't even in that body they were stoning. It said that he looked into the heavens and he was seeing Jesus. And while he was seeing Jesus, he was interceding for the people that were bashing his physical body into the dirt. Now, you can't do that in your own physical strength. There was a grace that was being released in the middle of his martyrdom. Jesus Christ, the same thing. He was taking some of his last breaths, and some of his last breaths were, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There's a grace that's released in martyrdom. And so I'm not talking about that. If you hear about folks being martyred, I think, and I'm not saying that it's God's will for Christians to be killed or murdered. I'm saying that God releases a grace for that, and they're not dying in unbelief, or they're not dying in shame or condemnation. But what I'm saying is, God has orchestrated for mankind to be at least 70, at least 80, and I would say that if the old covenant gave Moses 120 years, I think the new covenant ought to give us at least 121. Long life and length of days. Let me say it this way. And this is the whole subject. This is a whole sermon, and I'm going to say it in a couple sentences. Are you ready? Length of days is different than long life. Length of days is your days have length. Have you ever had a day where you said, man, I feel like I didn't accomplish anything all day today? You did not have a length of day that day. You had a short day that day. Those of you that are a little bit older, you know exactly what I'm talking about, where you feel like there's unproductive days that you don't get. Larry's nodding a lot. Happens a lot on the farm. I don't know what you're talking about. This is not part of the covenant of God. The covenant of God is that you have long days, length of days. Your days are filled with accomplishments. In other words, your days are not stolen from you. Let me say it this way. How many unproductive days did Jesus have while he was in ministry? How many times did he get to the end of the day and say, man, guys, I don't feel like we did anything today. We just woke up. All we did was like heal like 100 people and, you know, raise the dead 4 times and cast out 16 devils. And, man, I just don't feel like we did anything. Preached to 5,000 people. What a wasted day. Not one time did Jesus ever lay his head down at night if he went to sleep and say, man, just today just was just a total waste of a day. Every single day that Jesus lived. And here's the other radical part. And this is why I'm saying there's a whole sermon in here that I'm going to say in a couple sentences. Here's the radical part. Jesus never one time was ever busy. We think it's cool. Hey, how you doing today? Oh, I'm busy. Hey, how you doing, Steve? Super busy. What are you doing? Oh, I'm busy. How are you? I'm busy. Hey, Jesus, how are you? At rest. Enjoying my Father. I'm at peace. Know exactly what God's called me to do today. I have all the time that I need. I have length of days. I'm going to accomplish everything that I'm called to accomplish today. I'm working for my Father. He's a great boss. I'm never overworked. I'm never stressed. I'm at rest. Amen. Jesus was never busy, but Jesus was incredibly productive. Never busy, always productive. Long life and length of days. Hopefully you get this. I've got to move on. Long life and length of days shall they add to you. Let not. Does anybody know about like sentence structure? Let me show you. Let me take you back to high school for a minute. In sentence structure, there in some sentences, there's an understood object. And particularly in this sentence, it says, let not. You could actually say, to make this sentence grammatically correct, you could actually say, you let not. He's talking to his son. You let not. But it starts out, let not. The understood object is you. So, you let not mercy and truth forsake you. You let not. How do you let not mercy and truth forsake you? You remind yourself about God's mercy and God's truth that's for you. If you remind yourself of it, then you will not see it for being forsaken in your life. The word forsake means abandoned. Do not let mercy and truth abandon you. You don't let mercy and truth abandon you. You know God's mercy is fresh every day? The scriptures say every single day God ushers in a barge load of fresh mercy for you and all of your sorry circumstances. A barge load. Brand new mercy. As soon as the sun comes up, boom, hits your account. Brand new mercy. Then why do I feel like God's so far away? Why do I feel like I haven't accomplished nothing? Why do I feel like I'm such a waste of breath? Why do I feel condemned? Why do I feel guilty? Why do I feel unloved? Because you let yourself forsake the barge. The barge of God's mercy and God's truth. God's truth. What is His truth? Ephesians 4:24. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You are righteous and truly holy. You are. You won't be. You are. Now, Colossians, I think it's 3:11, says that we should put on the new man, which after God was renewed in the spirit of wisdom as Christ. You have the spirit of wisdom the same way that Jesus Christ has in you. That's awesome. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You are a new species of being that never existed before, created in the image and the likeness of God. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Genesis 1, 23 and 24 says that we were created in the likeness and the image of God. This is truth. God's word is exalted even above his name. His word says you were created in his image and his likeness. Is God sick? Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about thy neck. Well, that sounds like bondage. You're right. It is absolute bondage. Would you like to know what kind of bondage it is? Flip over two chapters. Go back to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 9. For they shall be an ornament of grace upon thy head and chains about thy neck. Would you like to have a chain of grace around your neck? Would you like to be in bondage to grace? I would like to. I would love to be a grace slave. A slave to God's grace. That's the only thing that makes my motor run. Is God's grace. I want to be a slave to grace. And that's exactly what the same guy that wrote Proverbs chapter 1 wrote Proverbs chapter 3. He knows exactly what he's talking about when he's saying, bind it about your neck. Proverbs chapter 3, back to 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you, bind it about your neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Who writes it upon the table of their heart? Understood subject is you. You. Oh God, if you just put all this information in me and just make me remember the verses. You know what? God don't work that way. God doesn't force you to do anything. If you want to have God's word active in your life, you put it on your heart. You activate it when you're under power, when you're under stress. When the enemy comes against you and he says, I'm going to tear you up. Look what I did to these five people around you. And it comes out of your heart. Though 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, I shall not fear. I'll take my shield of faith and I will quench every fiery dart of the enemy. I can run through a troop and jump over a wall. I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. This isn't stuff that you're just memorizing. This is stuff that when you're in the battlefield, when you're in the trenches and the enemy's coming at you, when they condemn you with words, when they come out and they lie and they malign your character, amen. When they malign your character and they lie about you, then you rise up with Psalm chapter 54, verse like 27, and you say that though they come against you in one way, they shall flee against you seven ways. That the words that they speak against you, that every word that comes against you, you shall condemn, because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith God. Man, that's not just having some super cool verse that's written in your wallet and you just whip her out and say, well, hold on, let me check my little Bible of promises here. Promise number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh yeah, when words come against me. No, let's talk it in Jesus' name. When they come against me, I shall condemn those words. You have the right to condemn words that come against you, to condemn curses that come against you, to condemn lies that come against you. You have the right to do that if you have this written on your heart. Otherwise, it's just another verse in the Bible. Everything you need to be successful is right here. Everything you need to be healthy is right here. Praise God. Verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So shalt thou find favor. Find favor. You know, you don't find things you're not looking for. Amen. You know, the world would like you to think that you just get to stumble over some stuff. Like you're just walking down the street, mind your own business. Oh, hey, a pot of gold. Where'd that come from? Look in there. Hey, honey, pot of gold. Just right in the sidewalk. Don't work that way. You find God's grace when you search for God's grace. You find God's provision when you search for God's provision. It's already there. He just needs you to tap it. He needs you to tap it. You know, right now the earth has trillions of dollars of gold that are probably just a few feet below the surface. But we don't know where it is. All you got to do is find it. You find a vein of gold somewhere in the earth, your money troubles are over. Amen. Your spending troubles just started, but your money problems are over. Just a few feet. We could literally be standing on a vein of gold right now. I doubt it, but we could be. What I'm saying is, you don't have a need. Like, there's not any provision that you need. What you need to do is find the provision that God's already made available to you. And that works in your health as well. You don't need to ask God to heal you. God's healed you. You don't need to ask God to bless you. God has blessed you. You don't need to ask God to prosper you. God has prospered you. You just need to tap into what God's given you. Amen. Y'all are looking at me like a dog at a new dish. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Well, it doesn't have to be all your heart. You know, just a couple of times a day if you trust in God in a few things. Like you trust God when you're with all your Christian friends and you pray over the food. But, you know, any other time when you're going to eat, you know, you just eat it. You know, like a pig at a trough. Just mower down. Amen? But you, when you're with your Christian friends, trust God. At that time, you know, when it's really, really bad and everything is coming against you, then trust God. But when things aren't so bad and you can kind of handle them, like you can trust yourself a little bit, just go on and trust yourself a little bit. You don't need to trust in all your heart. Oh, I'm sorry, I misread it. Trust in the Lord with, you know what all means in the Hebrew? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not. I didn't read the second half. Lean not on your own understanding. You know what this means? If you think you're really, really good at something and you're going to accomplish it in your own strength, you are not allowing God to do in your life what He wants to do. Because you're awesome. You don't even need God sometimes. I mean, you could do some stuff on your own, right? Because you're cool. You don't even need the power of God. There's just some things that you figured out in life, right? But God showed you how to figure them out, so you don't need to. Thanks for all the training, God. I got it from here. Just stand there. I'll let you know if I need you. Amen. Most of us live our lives that way. We learn. God teaches us a few things, and we're like, okay, God, got it. Amen. Take the training wheels off. I'll be all right. I know it's a big hill, but I know it ends at a cliff, but you know, I got it. You don't have to be so close. And then you're headed down the hill, and you're 5 seconds from the cliff. You're like, God! He's like, I'm right here. You might as well just let him follow you the whole way. Amen? And then it'll probably take you off the cliff. You learn to fly. Amen. That'd be awesome. Amen. The word for good understanding is good success. So shall you find favor and good success. You want to find good success? You know there's a difference between good success and bad success? I hope you're going to spin on that one. There's bad success. And a lot of people experience bad success, and they think that they're successful because they have success, but there's a bad success that actually takes away success that you were created to experience. I'm going to just leave that right there, let you guys deal with that one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths in all your ways. In your health? Well, let me do it this way. What if you eat a lot of vegetables and you exercise well and you take your vitamins and you don't smoke or drink or chew? You know, you don't need to really believe God for a lot of health because you're doing all the right things. Right? You don't have too much trans fat. You only eat a dozen eggs and not a dozen in one. You're doing all the right healthy things, and so you really don't need to trust God for too much health because you're doing a lot of stuff. Your health either comes from Him or it comes from you. Let me say it that way. If your health comes from you, then you'll be as healthy as you can make you. If your health comes from Him, then it comes from Him. You can participate, eat right, exercise, do those kind of things, but your health doesn't come from those things. That's actually your faith in action, believing that your health came from Him. That one worked real well, didn't it? Amen, Pastor. That's a good word. Even if nobody else liked it, I liked it. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know, fearing God departs you from evil. Have an honor and reverence from God. Nobody will ever have to talk to you about the evil things that are tearing your life apart. So let me say this. If somebody has to talk to you about things that are tearing your life apart, you're probably not reverencing God in some area of your life. Amen or oh me. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. You know, another thing that's radical there, you can depart from evil. You ever think about that? You just think that evil just has you. Like, it's the big evil monster, and he's got his big claws wrapped around your neck all your life. No, you can depart. You can cut off that part. Depart. Evil from your life. Depart that. Amen. It's a good word. And it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It what? It, the word. Remembering the mercy of God, remembering the truth of God, letting the commands of God be written on your heart. All of this kind of built down to this verse. If you have these things active in your life, if the Word of God is active in your life and in your heart, and you're trusting in God based upon what He said in His Word about who you are and what He's done for you, and you believe in the great and precious promises that belong to you, it shall produce health to thy navel. The word for health here is the word for medicine in the Hebrew. You know, you can actually take medicine in the Word of God. You can actually take the Word of God and apply it to your life like medicine. Let me say it this way. If you take this Word and you actually used it as you do medicine, you will have better success with this than you will with that. This is for real. You know, a doctor can show up and say, oh man, you're dying. Woo, you're dying. But if you take these pills 6 times a day, and you take exactly this much water, and you take exactly this kind of food with these pills 6 times a day, you will live an extra 10 years. I'll guarantee you everybody in this room would take pills 6 times a day, and the water, and the proper food. I'm here to tell you, under the inspiration and the power of God, as a man of God anointed by the Spirit of God, I'm here to tell you, if you take this 6 times a day, and you water it with Jesus Christ, and you let the Spirit of God bring it to life in your heart, you will have medicine going into your navel, and the word for navel is umbilical cord, talking about the life support that every child needs to bring every good thing into their life. You will have medicine being pumped directly into the core of who you are. The core of who you are. If you take this, but if I said, quick, give me 5 healing scriptures that you're standing on right now, who could do it? Don't raise your hand. Quick, 5 healing verses that you're standing on and where they're found in the Word of God. Well, you know, there's that one and it's in there somewhere. Let me say this. Do you know where the aspirin is? You know exactly where. You can picture, you can go, it's in the upstairs bathroom, in the medicine cabinet, on the door to the right, on the 3rd shelf, 3 jars over. Amen. Right next to the, never mind, I'm not going to say it. Amen. Do you know where, by His stripes you are healed is? Do you know where He Himself bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases on the cross that says, by His stripes we are healed? Do you know where it says, and we already did this today, do you know where it says that He has exalted His Word even above His name? Do you know where it says He sent His Word and it healed them and delivered them from all their destructions? Do you know where Jesus went to the cross and took those stripes? Can you picture that? Do you know where it says, Beloved, I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health even as thy soul prospers? Now, if we say that we're standing for healing, we believe that the healing power of God needs to be in our life, then you would know where that medicine is. And you'd take it. And you wouldn't need Nurse Steve to come in your bedroom at night on a CD and say, open up your little mouth. Okay, there you go. Take a scoop. Okay, good. Now, one down in your tummy. Okay, good job, Johnny. Way to go. Amen. Now, if you need me to do that, take a CD. It's the worst commercial for a CD I've ever done right there. But we have them. We have entire series over there on healing. You can take the medicine. I can feed it to you. It's fine. I'm cool. I'm anointed to do it. I'm cool with that. But at some point, you need to know where to find it. And you need to take this medicine and let it go into your navel. And it shall be marrow to thy bones. The word for marrow means wetness. It means moisture. It's like a drink to your bones. Your bones need a drink. If you look up marrow in the dictionary, in dictionary.com online, marrow is the place in your bones where red blood cells are made. You know how important red blood cells are? Let me say it this way. What color is your blood? That's about how important red blood cells are. You know where they're created? In the marrow of your bones. You know what you can do? You can actually have the marrow of your bones have greater health by taking the medicine of the Word of God and putting it into the marrow of the core of your bones. It doesn't say, now listen. It doesn't say, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It doesn't say, it might be. It could be. It's like health. It doesn't say that. It says it's health. It's medicine. Not it's like medicine. It is medicine. It is marrow to your bones. Not like. Is. Get this. If you really believe this, you'd go home. You know what you'd do? You'd go home. You'd take that medicine cabinet. You'd tear that sucker off the wall. And you would put Bible verses all over where your medicine cabinet was. Man, I got a headache. What verse was that? There it is. I'm going to take that three times today. Amen? Amen. But we don't do that because we don't believe this is medicine. Here's what we believe. Aspirin is medicine, the Word of God, like medicine. That's really what we believe. And here's what I'll tell you that the Spirit of God would like you to know. This is medicine. Aspirin is like medicine. Amen? Because aspirin, you know what aspirin does? It lies to your brain to tell you that the pain that you actually have, you're not having. Do you know that? That's what aspirin does. Aspirin tells your brain, there's this very specific place in your brain that aspirin goes to, and it tells that part of your brain that the pain that you're feeling is not actually there, and your brain literally forgets that pain. Amen. You still have the pain, you just don't know it. And here's the other funny thing, too. I read this in a medical journal or a medical blog, I think it was. 80% of all headaches are caused by dehydration. If you have a headache, it's probably 80% likely that you got it from being dehydrated. You know what you should do? Hydrate. You know one of the ways that you can hydrate in your life? If you have a pain in your head or a pain in your neck in the spirit, you need to hydrate. Jesus said that he washed him with the washing of the water of the Word. Amen. John chapter 15, like verse 4. Now are you clean through the washing of the water of the Word. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. You know what incline is? Incline means to lean in and listen. Okay, this is recline. And this usually makes your eyes kind of roll back in the back of your skull. And then you're like, what verse are we preaching about? Incline is, say that again. Say that again. Incline means, I need this. I am listening on purpose. This is going to get into this. And when it gets into this, it's going to get into this. And it's going to change this. You incline your ear unto my sayings. You know, this is not Solomon trying to be Mr. Arrogancy. Here's what I'm here to tell you. I am not saying there is zero arrogancy in me right now. I am telling you that I am anointed by God and he has given me his word under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God. And I am here declaring unto you his word. And so I know that his word is anointed. Brittany just read it. That Jesus Christ goes with his word, confirming it with signs following. Jesus Christ doesn't confirm Steve Castle. Jesus Christ confirms the word that comes from him through Steve Castle, and he will confirm it with signs following. And I am telling you, under the unction of God, if you incline your ear unto what I'm saying, there will be manifestations in your life, in your body, in your health, in Jesus' name. Incline your ear unto my sayings. My son, incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. from thine eyes. From thine eyes. You know, there's only one way to do that. This. Here, let me show you how. Everybody paying attention? Watch the visual cues. This is how my eyes see what God has to say. No. You don't understand. We're in a prophetic culture. God can just give me a prophetic word and everything will change. I have a prophetic word for you. By His stripes, you are healed. Prophetically. You can either wait for some prophet to come through and give you some word and stay sick for 10 years or 20 years because the one prophet that gave you that one word that one time, maybe he didn't do it quite right, and then you need that other prophetic word from that other person, and then maybe you need like the high prophet to come in one time and give you that high word from the high prophet. Yeah, let me just give you the highest prophet. Jesus Christ is the highest prophet. He's the chief apostle. He's the great shepherd. He's the big pastor. He's the teacher of all teachers. And His stripes are what healed you. So if you're waiting for some other word, there's no word that's higher than that. That's the highest word there is. If you're waiting for a prophetic word, you need to wait for something that's lower than what Jesus would say about your circumstance. There is nothing. My son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my saying, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Why? For they are health, they are life, they are health unto those that, oh, here's that finding again. They are life unto all those that find them, and health, the same word. It's another word for medicine, and medicine to their flesh. Now, you can't spiritualize that one. It says flesh. This is flesh, in case you need to. In the Greek, if you look up flesh in the dictionary, or in the Greek dictionary, it says the tissue as if stripped of skin. So it's talking about this. Meat. If you need healing in your meat. Amen. That's why when the Bible says that to be carnally minded is death, it's talking about being meat-headed. If you're meat-headed, you're carnally minded. If you're carnally minded, it's going to bring death. If you put this into your carnality, it will change your carnality into the envisioned of divinity that God has for it. It's a big deal. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of my heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Anybody know what all is in the Hebrew? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Life flows from your heart. You put medicine in your heart and it produces red blood cells. It brings health into your life. For, Luke chapter 5. 4 minutes. Time me. That's right. You're laughing at me. You watch. Luke chapter 5. Verse something. I know it's in here. Verse 12. And it came to pass, when Jesus was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. How much? That's a lot. I'm trying to give you a visual. That's a lot. This isn't a guy that's just got like a little leprous lump or something. We're talking like head to toe full of leprosy. For those of you who don't know what leprosy was, it basically made your body parts fall off. They didn't have noses, they didn't have fingers, they didn't have, you know, sometimes their hands would fall off. It made everything deteriorate and fall off. It's literally what happens to us in the spirit when we don't allow God's health to be a part of our life. Things just start to fall off, just start to get diseased and fall away. Leprosy is a very prophetic thing that took place in the Bible, and by the way, the disciples cured it like they were told to. He was a man full of leprosy who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face. First off, we don't do that. We just sang a song, Jesus, let me see your face. This man who had problems in his life, when he seen Jesus, he fell on his face. We don't do that. You know why? It's not cool anymore. It's not cool for people just to get prostrate before the Lord. You know, you might wrinkle your jeans or something. You don't want to get on your face in front of people. I mean, what would people think? What would people think if you got down on your knees in front of Jesus? What would people think if you got on your face in front of Jesus when you were experiencing him in worship? You know, they would say things about you. You know what happened to the leprous man? Who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So basically what he's saying is, Lord, I know you can, but will you? Raise your hand if you don't think that God can heal you. Amen. Good church. Faith church. We believe God can heal. Amen. You know what? There isn't a single person in this room probably that has a doubt that God can heal you. You know what you doubt? Will. You don't doubt can, you doubt will. Well, let me settle it for you. He did. The will's done. Amen. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. What's God's will towards healing? Healing. That's his will. Well, that was just this one circumstance. Well, let me remind you that Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he was, his will was to heal in his earthly ministry, then his will is to heal now in his spiritual ministry through the Holy Spirit. His will is the same because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according to Moses, a commandment for a testimony unto them. For but so much the more went their fame abroad, and great multitudes came together to hear and be healed. To hear and be healed. You know, here's why in America the body of Christ does not experience the power of God the way they do in many other places. Because we want to have the healing and not have the hearing. Hey, preacher, shut up. It's been 30 minutes. Shut up and get on with the super cool miraculous stuff. Jesus knew that the right order was hear, heal. Hear, heal. Go over one chapter, Luke 6. Verse 17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people came out of Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and be healed. They came to hear him and be healed. Hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. Luke 9. I'm telling you that the healing that you need to experience in your life, the prosperity that you need to experience in your life, the joy, the peace, the goodness that you need to experience in your life is not contingent on Jesus. It's contingent on you putting it into your heart and inclining your ear unto it. Luke 9, verse 11. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them, and spake unto them the kingdom of God, and healed them. What was the order? He spake the kingdom, and then they were healed. So, Luke 5, hear, healed. Luke 6, hear, healed. Luke 9, speak the kingdom, healing. Does anybody know what the nickname for Luke was? The physician. Luke the physician is what he's called in Acts. Luke the physician. You know, there's a reason that Luke highlighted these things in a way that some other folks didn't. As a physician, Luke knew what the process was going on here. He knew that the reason these folks were getting healed was because they were hearing. They were hearing, and then they were being healed. They were hearing, and then healed. They were inclining their ear to what Jesus had to say. Jesus was preaching the kingdom, and they were receiving the kingdom. You know what the kingdom is? Healing. That's the kingdom. The kingdom has healing in it. In the kingdom, there's healing. And the king is here to proclaim the kingdom to you. If you hear and incline your ears, there'll be healing. And I said, well, I've been to a lot of meetings and I haven't seen the healing power of God. Okay, well, I'm here to tell you that you might have heard, but not heard. You know, there's a hearing and there's a hearing. These are mud flaps. They pick up things and vibrations in the atmosphere. This is your heart. It hears the voice of Jesus Christ. There's a difference between hearing and mud flapping. You can go to the greatest preachers and teachers and healing ministers in the earth. But if you don't hear, you're going to go in and go out in the same condition. You know, there were people that went to Jesus that heard Jesus preach that were never changed. I didn't want to get into it because it's a whole other sermon, but in Luke chapter 5, it said that the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to him, and it said that the power of God was present to heal them, and then they wouldn't receive it, and so the folks lowered the guy down, the friends, the paralytic that was on the mat that the four friends lowered through the roof. That's when that guy got healed, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees wouldn't receive the power of God, and the guy on the paralytic mat would receive it. The same healing power that was there for the Pharisees and Sadducees didn't manifest in their life, did manifest in the guy that tore the roof apart. Breaking the church down, he gets healed. The guys that built the church didn't get healed. Figure that one out. Praise God. Hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. I want to pray for you. Stand up with me. As Ryan would say, stand on your feet. Put your hands out. This is the universal sign of I'm ready to receive what God has for you. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to proclaim a blessing over you. Father, you see your folks that have gathered here tonight. They're inclining their ear to your word. They're letting your word change them. Psalm 107:20, you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from all of our destruction. That word that you sent, his name was Jesus. And he healed us in every way. He's our great physician. Mark 2 says he's our great physician. He is the physician that healed us. You sent your word, Jesus Christ, and it healed us. And so, Father, I pray over these lives right now as they're inclining their ear to this, that it is becoming medicine to their flesh. It is becoming medicine to their navel, to their umbilical cords, and it is becoming moistening and health to their marrow, to the center of their bones. Your word is going into them and changing them. And also, Father, I want to start proclaiming this over your people. Beloved, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in good health as your soul is prospering. And I pray these things now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.